Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. They are yours, this grace, this mercy, and this peace, through the precious word of God which is given to you. The portion of which we read is from Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 31. And understand, this is the third time that Jesus has told his disciples what will soon transpire. Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again." This is the word of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth, we pray. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, have you heard this prediction before? This prediction that Jesus makes? And have you heard how it turned out? That Jesus went up to Jerusalem during the Passover, that he was handed over to the Gentiles. He was mocked, he was scourged, he was insulted, he was spit on, he was killed, and then the third day he rose again. Okay, how many times have you heard that? Over and over again. And I expect that the same day that you heard this, a day like today, you were deluged with thousands of other bits of information in the form of words and pictures and emblems and symbols and sounds and diagrams and tweets and notifications and whatnot, not even to mention everything that's poured out to you in your classes. So why would you have paid any attention to these words? Why would you pay any attention to what happened to Jesus? Why would you care? Two reasons, really. Truth and meaning. Truth and meaning. Now, those two things are so at the heart of a classical liberal arts education, especially on a Christian campus, that you might even have had to write some essays on truth and meaning as they relate to one discipline or another. Or you may just have assumed them. But don't take them for granted, truth and meaning. Because it's truth and meaning, because of truth and meaning, that any words deserve our attention, our understanding, our contemplation, or our faith. The words that Jesus spoke here, first of all, are true. They're the truth. They're the truth that the prophets spoke about Jesus. They are the truth about what happened to Jesus there at the end of his ministry. They're the truth that are going to provide the focus for us as we set out on this 40-day journey between Ash Wednesday and the great high festival of the resurrection. These words are truth. And by fulfilling the words of the prophets, they show the prophets' words also to be true. Like the words of Isaiah, chapter 53. "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him." Or like the words of the prophet David, who spoke as though he were the Messiah. Psalm 22, "But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by people. Everyone who sees me mocks me. They sneer and shake their heads. He relies on the Lord. Let him save him. Let the Lord rescue him, since he takes pleasure in him." These words of the prophets and many more. And the words that Jesus spoke are true not just because they gave weight to the prophets' words, but they're true in themselves because what he said happened. There's a perfect correspondence between what Jesus says is going to happen and what did happen. He was seized by the leaders of the people. He was handed over to the Gentile governor Pilate. He was subjected to mocking, insults, spitting, flogging, and judicial murder. It's all true. But you might even then say, so what? Just because it's true doesn't mean anything. Do you have any idea how many people were crucified in the ancient world? I've heard the Romans alone in excess of a million. I've heard millions. I have no idea myself. Is truth the only thing that deserves our notice? I expect that amongst all the emails, tweets, ads, notices, and texts that run through your life every day, a good many of them are true, but you don't stop for a fraction of a second to think about them. Just because it's true, no big deal. What raises these words to the level that deserves our attention, our understanding, our contemplation, and our faith isn't just their truth, but their meaning, their importance, their significance, and their consequences for us. A campus-wide text that nachos are 2 for the price of 1 in the Viking Village today might be true, no idea. But it sure isn't going to change the trajectory of my life or my eternal life. But the fact that this victim of crucifixion, amongst all the hundreds of thousands and perhaps millions of victims of crucifixion, is a stand-in for me, makes this truth ever so significant. That has meaning for you and for me. The fact that his suffering was for what you did yesterday, the way you treated somebody this morning, because of the things that I remember blushing with shame that I have done in the past. The fact that he was suffering the consequences before God for those things makes this crucifixion meaningful. And the fact that this truth extends beyond his crucifixion to his resurrection makes all the difference in the world in meaning for every last one of us. It makes these words the most needful words. Where have we heard that before? The one thing that is needful for us to know. This truth testifies to the greater truth that this man who went to the cross is not just another man crucified. This man who went to the cross is God. As Paul wrote in Romans 1, Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Lord. This truth testifies to the greater truth that when you close your eyes for the very last time, in the hour of your death, your hope isn't going to be that you got everything right in your life. Your hope is going to be in him and what he did these last few days of his passion. Those terrible things that you've done in your life that make you cringe, they aren't going to be held against you because they were held against him. Says Peter, the betrayer, with the embarrassing loud mouth. What did he say? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So it is true that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He suffered and died. It's true that Jesus walked the road of suffering and the cross and the open tomb, bearing our sins. And it means that you are forgiven. It means that you are reconciled to your Maker. It means that you are proffered the gift of everlasting life. Truth and meaning. Thanks be to God.